Coming down in 3, 2, 1. The holiday season is nearly upon us, and most of us will do some traveling, whether it's across town, across the state, or across the country. Collectively, we will drive, ride, and fly a lot of miles. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment, a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. I started wondering how we might green up our holiday travels a bit. Is one mode of transportation better than the other? How do we best evaluate which is the least environmentally harmful? The only thing I know for certain is I don't know the answers. Fortunately, our guest this morning can help us and make the best determination possible for our travels this season. Dr. John DiCicco is professor at the University of Michigan School of Natural Resources and a researcher at the U of M Energy Institute. Dr. DiCicco, good morning and welcome back to WEMU.
Good morning, David.
Well, let's start here. Kind of the grand picture. Am I correct that tourism and our transportation methods during the holiday seasons do pose a higher level of threat to the environment?
That's right. You know, travel tends to spike during holidays, and transportation is one of the more energy-intensive, and that means carbon-intensive, ways we live our lives. So holiday travel is a good time to think about how can you get around most efficient? How can I reduce the emissions if that's something I want to be mindful of in this holiday season?
Well, there's a variety of modes of transportation. We should look at most all of them. For those traveling great distances, obviously, air travel is the most convenient and based on schedules might be the only realistic option. How significant is the aviation industry's impact on the environment? I mean, just the impression is planes, pollution.
Well, that is the impression. And jet aircraft, certainly puts out a lot of pollution. But, when you pack a lot of passengers on it, which I think anybody who's experienced travel in the last few years knows well, your per-person impact goes down a lot. I went back and looked at some of the statistics on air transportation energy use. And about 20 years ago, given the nature of the planes, how they were operated, and how loaded they were, or unloaded a lot of the time, if you worked it out to kind of a mile per gallon equivalent, because we're used to thinking about how many miles per gallon a car gets.
Right.
Well, if you think of how many miles per gallon per person on an airplane, back in 1990, it worked out to about 28 on average, which, that's not too bad,
no,
really.
No, it's really not.
But today, the latest statistics I could find for 2010, the average U.S. air travel worked out to 47 miles per gallon per person on average. So
that's a significant improvement in
a short
period of time.
That's a big improvement.
They keep developing mechanical difficulties with only 80% occupancy?
Well, I don't know the details there. I do know that air travel's gotten a lot cozier, to put it perhaps diplomatically.
Yeah, it's like going to Michigan Stadium in the air, right? So there is scenarios by which traveling by plane is actually a better environmental option, and I think that goes against our common way of thinking.
Well, that's right. But one thing to keep in mind, I gave a big national average kind of statistic, and if you are just going a short distance, like, from here in Ipsy to Chicago, 500-mile round trip, I looked up what that would be, and the average per person would be like 14 miles per gallon. So those short hops on an airplane are a lot more energy intensive, and that's because a lot of the energy is just getting off the ground, getting up to cruise altitude. Once the plane is in cruise altitude, it's not burning nearly as much fuel as it takes
to
get it up to air.
It just goes up and down.
Exactly. So, if you're going to Chicago, 14 miles per gallon, I looked up like a Ford Flex, one person in a Ford Flex, 15 miles per gallon. You can edge out air, and of course, that's more convenient. So, important thing to think about is how far are you going? That's a convenience factor as well. Given the air travel delays, for me, it's a trade-off. Sometimes I'll take the train to Chicago. Mostly I'll take the train when I can help it. And the trains are averaging, I don't have a statistic from here to Chicago, but, your average Amtrak is around, 50, 55 miles per gallon, something like that, per person.
Which is better than almost all cars.
So that's better than almost all cars, until you put a lot of people in the car.
And that's where we're going next. This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and we're talking about the impacts of holiday travel on the environment with Dr. John DiCicco. Dr. DiCicco is a professor at the University of Michigan School of Natural Resources and a researcher at the U of M Energy Institute. As mentioned, most of the travel we are going to do during any holiday season, but the upcoming one in particular, will be over the road, on the streets and highways, generally within a couple of hundred miles of home. Now, in order to evaluate how best to reduce the automotive footprint, we do have to consider variables like number of passengers, right?
That's right. You know, my advice reminds me of the old song, "So Happy Together." So for happiness with respect to the planet, you know, double up, triple up, go, you know, in groups, in your car, whatever. And obviously that's going to slash your carbon footprint per mile accordingly. The good news is that typically if you look at, you know, travel statistics overall, you know, a lot of times for, you know, going to work, you know, we're single occupant. The average occupancy, that's the number of people per car, tends to be low for those trips. But for social travel, visiting, things like that, the statistics are that people do tend to double up, and that's natural. So, you know, even in a, you know, large size vehicle, if you're putting a family of four in it, five people, whatever, your per person impact is going to be proportionately smaller.
Now, there is the possibility if you're traveling from Ann Arbor to Ypsilanti or, as you've mentioned earlier, to Chicago, going by bus or train. How do we make those considerations and properly evaluate carbon output when we're considering those alternative modes of transportation?
Well, a lot of it does come down to this trade-off between convenience, how many of you are traveling, and then the options you've got at your disposal. One of the most efficient ways of traveling is intercity bus. In other words, if you get on the Greyhound or something like that, and if you're just one person, I estimate, you know, for a typical Greyhound on a, you know, not a short distance, but, you know, going to Chicago or farther or something like that, you're getting like the equivalent of 150 miles per gallon per person, given, you know, the buses maybe, I assumed about a half loaded bus.
Right.
And, you know, if they, during holidays, if the buses are running full, you're going to do even better than that. So that's a, you know, a pretty darn good, you know, efficiency. If you take, you know, let's say the Toyota Prius, because that's, you know,
right,
kind of the hybrid, the iconic hybrid, it's rated at 50 miles per gallon. Put two people in that, you're at 100. Put three, you're at 150.
50.
So you're as good as the bus in that case for an efficient car like that. Now, of course, not everybody owns a hybrid. A lot of people have larger vehicles. So, you know, the impact's going to be higher. But again, if you're using the vehicle, you know, that's designed to haul, you know, five, six passengers, with five or six passengers, you're doing pretty well.
So, as you mentioned together, really the lesson for the holidays is so happy together.
So happy together.
The more you can take in your car, the better. And if you're going to be traveling longer distances, take a look at what your options are and how much it might go in comparison to your vehicle, correct?
That's right. And then long distances, you know, air is going to be pretty much the way to go, you know, for convenience. I you know, in my younger days, I would maybe get together with a bunch of guys and do that road trip. I did a cross-country road trip in my old Ford Galaxy. And even with that old car, we probably did pretty good with four people in it going back and forth. But, you know, today most people fly. And like I said, you know, for a long distance, that's pretty good. I did the ran the numbers for, like, from here to L.A. And that works out to about 54 miles per gallon per person if you have a nonstop.
And you can't beat that in terms of how much time you
save.
Well,
for sure,
driving,
the time savings. Yeah, I mean, you could beat that, you know, with a couple people in a efficient car, but, you know, it's going to take you a lot longer.
Well, thank you so much for your time. We would simply urge everyone to just take into consideration when you're making your plans how best to get there and reduce your footprint when you go. Dr. John DiCicco, thank you so much for this morning for your help. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That is Dr. John DiCicco, and Dr. DiCicco is a professor of the University of Michigan School of Natural Resources and a researcher at the U of M Energy Institute. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment, a regular feature produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Department of Environmental Health, and heard every Wednesday during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.